September 29th, 2009.
Sneak in under some pretext and those, and went down and put on the pill and said, "Mom, two droppers." That was it. I was young to run.
Beautiful.
You know, there was a beautiful speech that Daniel gave to the 92nd Street Y after he came back from the UN and all that. He told the story how he met Philip Babashir Ebony. One of his former soldiers that was under his command was a Makhainik, became a Lubavitch. He comes to his office, the Rebbe wants to see you. This is like, let's go. He said, no, the Rebbe says midnight. The whole story. Anyhow, the Rebbe comes, the Rebbe went over and spoke to him for 40 minutes. The whole crowd was there. They went up in our uproar. You know, what was the Rebbe doing? When 40 minutes he spoke to him. The final message was when he said, you're going into all darkness, you should only light a candle. You know what he said. The Rebbe told him, you're going into a valley of darkness. He meant the UN. Just be careful, in other words, but light one candle, that'll shine up and show the whole thing. The whole world will be able to see that one candle. Okay. You tell the Emmas. But the way he told the story, how the Rebbe spoke to him for 40 minutes.
So it didn't help? After the Rebbe speaking for 40 minutes, it gave away Hebron and he did all those crazy things?
He's a good leader now.
Now
he's a strong leader.
Okay. Can you hear us? Can you hear
us? Now they're doing away with the Shabbos elevators. You don't know, huh? They're coming out with a new chumrah. The Shabbos elevator is no longer good.
Where is this?
In Israel. They quote Rabbi Eliyashu. The only trouble is, what they quote is something that Eliyashu said years ago.
I hope he asks all the questions now.
Okay. Rabbi Jacobowitz has yahrzeit for his mother. We dedicate the shir l'zech nishmas Moritz Frey de Perel, Bas Avram Leib HaKoyin Olea HaShalom. The Mishnah Mem Aleph Amid Aleph Masech HaSukkah speaks about the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav. The din is that you don't just shake a lulav. The Mishnah says in Menachos that the dalad minam ma'akfim zeh zeh. You have to have the lulav, the esrig, hadasim and arabs. You have to have all the dalad minam. That's why the Rambam writes that it's one mitzvah. Whenever the Mishnah layer in Menachos lists off different things, shal yad and shal rosh, and not miakvim zeh zeh. So the Rambam says that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. And then you have sometimes things are miakvim, sometimes things are not miakvim. Sit over here. Sit over here. There's room all over.
I don't understand the cloud, the way this. We should set up the room much better, I think.
So the Rambam says that the Dalaminim Shabululav am Yakvim Zezeh, that's an indication. That is one mitzvah. And Shal Yadim Shal Rosh are not Miyakvim Zezeh, so that's an indication that they're two distinct mitzvahs. How do we know that they're not Miyakvim? How do we know that the Dalaminim Shabululav am Yakvim Zezeh? So the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, Ulokachtem Lochem, Ulokachtem Lekichatamu. Poshib Shatu Lokachtem is the plural. It's one word. Atem, Tikhu. Well, look at them as atem tikhu. That's what it means. And the vav hamapeches means tikhu in the future. Lakachtem is past. The vav hamapeches makes it into the future. So atem tikhu. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Lakachtem lekichatama. Lekichatama means you have to have everything together. All the dalaminim shebelulav amakvim zezeh. The Gemara has another din that's learned out from that same word, lekichatama. That chaser is puzzle. That let's say you have an esrig and someone took a knife and they cut off part of the esrig. So if part of the esrig is missing, so on the first 2 days, chaser is possible. The rest of the days of Sukkot, chaser is kosher. The first 2 days, it's possible. So that's a kasha that the Rishonim work on. If you say that Lekicha Tama is only Me'akev on the first day, when is the rice, and the rest of Sukkah is only Me'derabbanon, so Lekicha Tama is not Me'akev, so Chaser is Kosher. So why do you say that the Dalad Minim Shabalulavam, Me'akvim Zeza, all the Zion Yomim of Sukkah, it's based on the same drosh of Lekicha Tama. So if Chaser doesn't passel the rest of the days of Sukkah, so you should say that the Dalad Minim are not Me'akvim Zeza. So one of the Rishonim Taka says like that. The Sefer HaMichtam quotes in the name of his father that the Shar Yomim of Sukkot, where the Dalad Minim is only with the Rabbanon, so they're not Miakim Zezet. But nobody agrees to that. We don't pass like that. We're not even Machma like that. Let's say a person is missing one of the Minim on the rest of the days of Sukkot. We wouldn't even recommend Lechumer that he should shake a lulav on Abrochas, a Ganesh Meganesh. But we assume that the Minim HaMiyakim, that din of Lekicha Tama, that the Dal Minim HaMiyakim Zezeh, that applies to all the 7 days of Sukkot. And the din Lekicha Tama, that Choser is Pasol, so we assume that's only on the first day of Sukkot. So that's a Machloikas HaRishayna. On that Mishnah Menachas, this is a Menachas because it says there Menachas about the Zion Kaneh HaMenorah HaMiyakim Zezeh. And it lists off that it says that the Tefillin Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are not Miyakvim, and the two parshis and the mezuzah are Miyakvim Zezeh. It lists off various things which are Miyakvim Zezeh, which are not Miyakvim Zezeh. So in that Mishnah Menachos, when it says the Dalaminim are Miyakvim Zezeh, so Tosfos says, and Tosfos quotes as Machlekes Hatanaim in the first parak in Sukkah, where the Lulav Tzorech Eged or Lulav Ein Tzorech Eged. Lechatchila, all the Tanaim agree that you're supposed to have an eged. You're supposed to tie around the hadasim and arabs together with the lulav. And the machlokes hatanaim is whether b'dieved, is it kosher if you didn't do an eged? So Yehuda's opinion is that it's likuva, that if you didn't do an eged, if you didn't tie around with a kesher agabi kesher mamish, so you're not yotze in the mitzvah of dalad min. And we don't paskin like that. We paskin that it's only lechatchila. Mishum zekele v'aveh, mishum hider mitzvah. He, the mitzvah, requires taki, should have a kesher, agabi kesher. That's what Rashi points out in Lulav HaGozel. Not stam, you should wrap around, and tuck in the piece of the lulav that holds it together. You should have lechatchila, a kesher, agabi kesher.
Those are the leaves.
Yeah, so the way we have a little acacia called a container with geflochten leaves on the lulav, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Nachrayim that is a kesher, agabi kesher. That keshikol is woven in such a way that it is. It has mamish a double knot in it. So we yotze the lechatchila of keshal gabi kesher by using that keshikol. But some people have a hesitation. They don't want to use a keshikol, so they just take a lulav, hadasim, and arovs, then they wrap around with a strip of the lulav, then they tuck it in. So you're not yotze the lechatchila like that. Rashi says beferish, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that the lechatchila, the hida mitzvah lachatchila, that's not miyakid. The lachatchila should do a kesher. Lulav tzarech eged lachatchila is the same as according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that lulav tzarech eged leikuve has to be a kesher agabi kesher. So the way we paskin that it's only lachatchila, it also should be lachatchila kesher agabi kesher. Not stam to wrap it around. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to have dafke eged. We don't paskin like that. The eged is not miyakid. So Tosfos says eged is not miyakid, but you have to lift up all four bevasachas. If you pick up the lulav in the morning and the esrig an hour later and the hadasim an hour later and the arovas an hour later, you're not yotz. You have to lift up all the dalminim bevasachas. And the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote Tosfos. Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rambam, that you can pick up all the dalminim bezachazeh. You don't have to pick up bevasachas. The Rambam just adds on, even separately. The Rambam just adds on a condition, who shiyu kulam lefonov. It's only good if you have all the dalaminim in front of you on the table. But if you're going to pick up an asterisk now, then you're going to go to someone else's house and get a lulav. Then go to someone else's house and get hadasim. So that's not good. That's a question. That's a diun in a mefarshim on the Rambam and the Achrayim. What is that a condition of? V'ushiyu kulam lefonav. That's otherwise it's not mitzuref yachad. You're not mitzaref together the lulav, the hadasim, and the arovs if it's not kulam lefonav. Oh no, li'olam it is mitzuref yachad. I pick up the lulav in the morning, someone's lulav and someone else's esrog and someone else's hadasim, from all day long it's good. The Rambam says, you should kulam lefonav because of the bracha. Maybe that's what he means. You have to say a bracha, over lasiyasim, over means immediately before you perform the mitzvah. Not doesn't say in the Gemara. The Gemara says, m'sachem davav, kol ha-mitzvahs kulam avracha leim, over lasiyasim. So the Rishonim say, why does it say over lasiyasim? Why doesn't it say koidem? kaidim means before. So you say a bracha now, and you shake the lulav an hour later. No, oiver means immediately before, to the exclusion of oiver the oiver. That's how the Rishonim said. Oiver the oiver is too far in advance. You have to say the bracha oiver lasiyas. So maybe that's what the Rama meant to say. Hushu kulam lefanov. You can say a bracha before you do the netilas lulav. Bezeach hazeach hazeach. Pick up each one. The bracha relates to everything as long as provided kulam lefanov. But it's not kulam lefanov, then it's a violation of over the over, but you are yotze the dalet minim. The dalet minim would be mitztarfim yachad from all day long. So that's a little unclear in the Rambam. When the Rambam writes that you can pick up the zeach hazeh, not like Tosfos Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam, that you can pick up the dalet minim zeach hazeh, but provided behushu kulam lefanov, they should all be in front of him. Is that a tenai in the birchas hamitzvah? Otherwise, teignish, the bracha is over the eiver, or the Rama means, no, that's a tenai in the mitzvah itself. If it's not kulam lafanov, then they're not mitzvah from yachad. That's a shayla, what pshat in the Rama is. Why doesn't it include the esrei? I don't know. The Gemara says based on the psukim. Priyei tzadar, there's no vav. Kach lachem, priyei tzadar, kaps tzmai, ma'anaf, eisavetz, varbi nachal. So the Kapis tomorrow and Vanaf Eitzavus V'Arbi Nachal. There's a vav and a vav there between the first. The Dalaminim I mentioned Bezeach Hazeach Hazeach. So there's no vav in between the first and the second. Normally I would write. You would put a vav in. You may leave out the last vav, but you don't leave out the second vav.
So what does the Rambam do with that? If the Rambam holds that each could be separate, doesn't have to be all tied together. So what does he do with the vavs?
No, lechatchila lulav tzarcheged, lechatchila mitzvah min amuvcha zekel mabe. Even the Rabbanon agreed to Reb Yudah with the vavs that the lulav hadas man arav should be tied together. That's as a mitzvah min amuvcha. But it's not miakeh b'deved. Reb Yudah holds that it's miakeh b'deved. He has a gzeres hakos and miakeh b'deved. And Gemara said we don't pass like Reb Yudah. We pass him that the eged is only lechatchila. It's not b'deved.
Maybe you don't need any kind of siruf at all, really. Another like
talk
to the
Dibra
kind of thing, one minute after another
minute,
it doesn't have to be that way?
That's a shaila. Kulam lefanov is a for the tziruf on the level of the raisa. If it's not kulam lefanov, it's not mitzuref yachad, you're not yotze the mitzvah. Maybe the kulam lefanov is only because of the bracha issue. That's unclear in the Rambam. Whether he requires we should kulam lefanov only because otherwise the bracha will be over the over. But the mitzvah is mitztaref yachad from all day long. No, lechatchila, the Rambam also agrees that you're supposed to have eged. You're supposed to pick up the lulav, hadasim, and arabis all tied together. The esrig, according to the Rambam, you can pick up bezeach hazeh. It doesn't have to be b'masachas.
This is the chet of Am Yisrael to make him achat. The whole thing you can do separate.
The Medrash says
this is separate the Eden.
That's a famous Medrash that the Dalad Minim, some of them the Kapas Tamorim is from a date tree, from a palm tree that has dates. That's a shayla. What if you have a lulav that grows on a tree with no dates? Is that good? Because the Chumash says Kapas Tamorim. You have to have from a date tree. So what if you have lulavim that grow exactly the same? Minus the date. So that's a big machlokes. In recent years, the farmers can develop whatever you ask them to develop. So they develop lulav trees without the dates. So that's a shayla if that's good. So the...
Hadassim without the dates. The Gemara talked about Hadassim without the dates. Then you can take it off.
You mean Hadassim with berries growing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Once in a while they have berries growing, so you have to pull it off.
Yeah.
You have to pull it off. No, but a lulav tree normally has... The lulav tree has dates not growing on the lulav, has dates growing on the tree. So what if you have a lulav tree that has no dates growing on it at all? So that's a big deal. I don't know, the lulavim that they sell us in the store, do we know that they have dates growing on the tree? We hope so. We hope so, because many poskim hold that the lulav is possible if it doesn't have dates. Some the Gemara has machlokes hatanan bat arvei nachal. Arvei nachal means arvos that grow by river. So one tana is of the opinion that lechatchila, one version of the tana is even b'dieved. You're only yotze with arvos if they grow by a river. I don't know, the arvos that they sell us, do they grow near a river?
That doesn't grow also near the river.
They don't?
I believe, it seems to me, I may be wrong, but I think that the Gemara is asking that, what if it does not?
So the Gemara, one time is marbe from a pasuk that even if it's mikomokon.
Anyway.
Yeah, so, good. Arbe nachal mikomokon. But then one time says no. So some rishonim learn pshat in the Gemara that Tana holds that it's no good, that you're not yotze with arovas unless they grow by river. I don't know, they make a racket out of everything. So why don't they sell arovas that grew by river? They should charge twice as much, and they should say that this has the hashgacha of the chief rabbi of Tzfas, that this grew by river. And they should sell lulavim with hashgacha. This lula for sure had dates growing on the tree. Because a lot of poskim hold the arovas, we paskin, ruba the ruba of the paskin, yotze with arovas, even if it didn't grow by river. But the lulavim, most of the poskim hold that it's no good if it grows without dates.
Next
I don't know.
Next year.
Someone should, it's already so many years, they didn't make a business out of it. They should have done already, yeah. Anyway, importing from Gaza? Okay. Here the Mishnah explains, I'm Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, but Rishayna, before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the din used to be that lulav is nital all over the world. You only bench esrig on the first day of Sukkot. That's what it says in Chumash. Lakachta chem b'yom rishon, the first day yontif. And in the Beis Hamikdash, there's a mitzvah to shake a lulav all 7 days, because that pasuk ends off lakachta chem b'yom rishon. Then it ends off as smachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem. So the Tanoim understand the smachtem lefnei Hashem alakechem. How do you express your simcha by shaking dalad minim? So that was the din until the Churban Bayis Sheni, and then Rabbi Yechman Zakkai was the chief rabbi before and during and after the Churban Abayis. He was the one who went out to Vespasian, and he said that he's surrendering in the name of the Jewish people. He's surrendering. So he made a lot. He and his bezdin, Rabbi Yechman Zakkai, made 9 takonis. The Gemara lists off all the 9 takonis. Several of the takonis had to do with the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was Chorev, and you make a Zechal Hamikdash, or because whatever was going on before, everything changed. So he made takonis. So this was one of the takonis Echel HaMikdash. He knew it's going to be a long time till they're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash. There was a machloikas at that time. Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion that just like there was 70 years, they were told in advance, there's going to be a 70-year gap between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Binyan Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Kiva was of the opinion there's going to be a 70-year gap between the Churban Bayis Sheni and the Binyan Bayis Shlishi. So that's why Rabbi Kiva thought that it's already Higia Hazman, that Bar Kochva is the Melech HaMashiach, and he was supporting him as the Melech HaMashiach, and they're going to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And all the other Tanoim disagreed with Rebbe Akiva. They told him, you're going to be dead and buried. Yalo asavim b'luchayecha v'adayin ben David loibo. It's going to be grass, it's going to be growing on your kever, and Mashiach is not going to come. They had a tradition, Mashiach is not going to come for a long, long time. Imos HaMashiach, that's what the Gemara has in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that shisal meshnin haviyalma, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years, and the 6,000 years is a breakdown of 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000. So the first 2,000 years is Tohu, until Avraham Avinu starts preaching monotheism to the world. Avraham Avinu was born, you look in Bereshis, Chumash Bereshis, Avraham Avinu was born in the year 1948, the Brias Olam. So when he was 52 years old, that was the year 2000, the Brias Olam. The Gemara says, the Gemiri, we have a tradition that when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old, that's when he started preaching Anefesh Asherosa Bechorin. He was preaching publicly monotheism. So that's the beginning of the second unit, the 2,000 years. That's the 2,000 years of Torah. And then the 2,000 years of Torah end in the year 4,000. That's a little bit, that's I think 20 years after the death of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That corresponds to the year 4,000 approximately. So then, starting then, is Yemos HaMashiach, the possibility for Mashiach to come. So this was way before. Rabbi Akiva thought 7 years after the Churban, 7 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Churban Bayis Sheni is around the year 70, 69, 70, something like that. So 7 years later is the year 140, and it's not yet the time for Bias HaMashiach. So Rabbi Akiva never heard of that tradition, that the world is going to last for 6,000 years, and the first 2,000 years is Tohu, the middle 2,000 years is Torah, and the last 2,000 years is Yemos HaMashiach. He never heard of that. And the other Tanoim said, well, that's the tradition. It's not time for Mashiach to come yet. So Rabbi Yechaman Zakkai thought there's going to be a long wait. It's going to be a long time till the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. So therefore he felt that he got to make a Zecher LeMikdash. So he made a Zechel HaMikdash that we should shake the lulav all 7 days, because this mitzvah will be forgotten, Poshut. No one will remember that there ever existed such a mitzvah. So that's by us. Lulav nito kol shiva is only midirabbanan. That's why the Gemara has a machlekes, but you say a bracha. When you shake the lulav on the first day, Sukkot, that's a mitzvah in HaTorah, so you say a bracha. Shekirishana b'mitzvahis v'tzivanam. And the rest of Sukkot is only midirabbanan, so the Gemara has a machlekes amarayim. Do you say a bracha or not? We know, we possibly do say a bracha. The Gemara says, we say a bracha when you bench, when you light Hanukkah candles. And we say a bracha when you read the Megillah, even though it's only midirabbanan. So the Gemara puts it together. We say a bracha when you shake a lulav, the remaining 6 days of Sukkot also, we paskin do say a bracha. Even on a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, you also say a bracha. But there were opinions that not so, that you don't say a bracha.
Have you ever became held that it was supposed to come at the beginning of the last 2,000?
The beginning? I don't know.
No,
Gemara says that he thought 70 years. Just like...
More or less. I mean, close to that.
Mm-hmm. 100 years off?
I mean, he died probably not more than 100 years before the 2000 beginning of the...
Yeah, but he thought Moshiach, he thought that Bayis Shlishi is going to be built the year 140. And the 2000 years don't begin until the year 240. So it's 100 years off. The calculations are questionable. Okay. Anyway, that's the takana that we have. We have takana Sabiachem and Zakai. So the din deraisa today is only the first day yontav is deraisa. This year there is no din deraisa. Everything is only midirabbanan this year. Everything is only midirabbanan. The Ritva has a machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bikur Yankov. It quotes from the Ritva. There is a machlokes. Do you observe a sveika d'yoma on the second day of Sukkot? We observe a sveika d'yoma yontav sheni shel golias and chutzlars with respect to not doing malacha. And we daven yontav diga davening. We don't daven chalamoid. We daven yontav diga davening. Shachris. Musav is the same. But shachris and mincha and mairiv, we don't daven like chalamoid. We daven like yontav. So there is a yontav sheni shel golias on the second day of Sukkot. We observe yontav sheni with respect to malachas. We observe yontav sheni. We don't put on tefillin. On yontav sheni. Even those who put on tefillin chalamoid, yontav sheni shel golias, you don't put on tefillin. We observe Yontav Sheni that you daven Yontav Dik, you don't daven Chalamoit. So what about you observe Yontav Sheni Shal Golias that you shake a lulav on the second day of Sukkot b'toras sveika d'yoma of the first day? So the Ritva has a machlokes. So he quotes some Rishonim who are of the opinion, no, what do you have to observe shaking a lulav b'toras Yontav Sheni? When did they introduce Yontav Sheni Shal Golias? Yontav Sheni, who introduced Yontav Sheni Shal Golias in Chutz Lartz? Oh. So there are many different stages in history. So the Goyim write in the Tshuva, Yeshua ben Nun introduced. When Reuven and Gad and Chatzon Shevet HaMenashe went back to Eva Yard and said, how are they ever going to know when Yontif is? The Bezdin is making Kiddush HaChodesh in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. This is before Yerushalayim was designated as the Mokum of the Bezdin HaGadol. So the Goyim write, we have a tradition when Yeshua ben Nun bid them farewell. They're going back to Eva Yard. So he said, and don't forget to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, because you never know when Yontav really is. So that was at an early stage. Then there were different stages. So then, during the lifetime of Abai Verovah lived in Bavel. So they couldn't do Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. But during their lifetime, the Rabbonim in Eretz Yisrael still had Smicha, and they were making Kiddush HaChodesh al Pi Hariyah. And it was during their lifetime, that's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, and the Rambam quotes it in more than one place, during their lifetime, they instituted the calendar that we have now, the fixed calendar. So once you have a fixed calendar, you know years in advance, you know a century in advance when Yontav is going to fall out. So what is this Sveika d'yoma? What do you have to observe 2 days Yontav? As if we don't know when Yontav is. We know that this coming Shabbos is the first day Sukkot. What's the Yontav Sheni? What's the Sveika d'yoma? So at that time, the Rabbanim in Bavel sent a Shaila to the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, should we still continue to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias, Hayos, that is no longer a suffix. So the Gemara, in the beginning of Beitza, the first half of Beitza, the Gemara quotes a letter that they sent, Sholcha Mitam, they sent a letter from Eretz Yisrael, Hizor b'minig avstechem yedechem. You should still continue to observe Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. So that was a new takana. We don't observe Yontav Sheni because of the fact Yeshua ben Nun told Reuven and God, Nechatz Shevet HaMenashe. That was a real Sveika d'yoma. And things kept on changing over the years due to circumstances. They notified the people. They didn't notify the people. But now, in the days of Abai V'Rav, their counterpart in Eretz Yisrael, Hillel HaSheni, was a grandson of, great-grandson of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He made the fixed calendar that we have. So we know centuries in advance when Yom Tov is going to be. So why do we still observe Yom Tov Sheni today? So that was a takana, Shoch HaMitam. So that's the Shaila. Who introduced Lulav Nitol Kol Shiva? That was Rabbi Yechanim and Zakkai. When the second Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, about the year 70, so he already introduced, we should shake a lulav all 7 days of Sukkah Zecher LeMikdash. Shouldn't forget that mitzvah. That there used to be a mitzvah, Bizman Shabbat Beis HaMikdash HaYikayim, that you shake the lulav in HaTorah all 7 days. And then the days of Abai V'Rava, that's a few centuries later. So when they introduced, when the Rabbanim and Eretz Yisrael introduced Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, so it makes sense they introduced it for Yisa Malocha. They introduced it not to lay tefillin. Even though Minatari is supposed to lay tefillin. Yesh kech v'achachamil lakadov Minatari b'shei v'altase. The Tzorach Godel. What's the Tzorach Godel? That's the Ksav Sofer has a tshuva. Mata tzachzeh. He doesn't understand why did they feel it necessary to do away with tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. He finally quotes it to the Rishonim say b'feirish like that, that you don't, tshuvas Rashba, that you don't lay tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. That's considered a great tzorach. If people will know that you lay tefillin on the second day Yom Tov, so they're going to realize that it's a fake, it's not really Yom Tov, so they're going to start doing malacha. Yeah, but the whole malacha is only with the Rabbanon. It's you want to be mechazik, the din the Rabbanon. So that's what the Rishonim say. The Ragatrava they have a collection of letters. The practice used to be in Europe in the 1920s, 1930s, all the yeshiva bachim used to send kashas to the Ragatrava in the mail. And they had to send postage. He would go broke if it wasn't shaykh. He couldn't pay for all the postage. They answer all the kashas that everybody said. Every sharp yeshiva bachim, in the chassidish yeshivas, and the musa yeshivas, and the litvish yeshivas, everyone would ask him kashas and learning. So, and then after many years, they put together a collection of all the letters, of some of the letters that he responded 20 times as many letters, but they put out collections of some of the letters that he wrote. So one of the letters they asked him, the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Peites and Daf Tzadik has a whole list of cases of Yesh Kerach V'Yach HaChomim Lakadov Menator B'Shei V'Al Tase. The Chom tell you when Rosh Hashanah falls on a Shabbos not to blow Shofar. And it says when Sukkot falls on a Shabbos you don't shake the lulav. And you wear a certain kind of an arbit kampis made from linen, you don't put on tzitzis at all. A beggar shall fish, you don't put on tzitzis. And a non-Jew who converts on Erev Pesach, Bizman HaMikdash, doesn't bring Korban Pesach that year, it brings Pesach Sheni. Gemara has another five, another couple of rare cases. How come the Gemara doesn't say that you don't like tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias? How come it doesn't say that in the Gemara? That's what they asked the Ragatrava. So he writes back, you're right, we should wear tefillin on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. I remember someone once mentioned this to Rav Soloveitchik. So he said, what are you talking about? What do you mean the Ragatrava put on tefillin? That's impossible. That's ridiculous. He couldn't believe that. But that's what they printed in his name. That's what he wrote. Based on Gemara, she really liked tefillin on the second day Yom Tov. So the Shad is like this. On Yom Tov Sheni, when they sent the letter from Eretz Yisrael, they should still continue to observe Yom Tov Sheni. So we understand, you don't like tefillin. Benegeh to the davening, nusach davening. Does it make sense they should introduce Yom Tov Sheni benegeh to netilas lulav? Then we're going to shake a lulav all 7 days. That was already takana for the days of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, that we shake a lulav all 7 days. All over the world you shake a lulav. So does it make sense they should say you have to shake a lulav on the second day Yom Tov HaChutz Laretz for another reason? Not only do you have to shake a lulav, come on, you're shaking a lulav anyway. So not only do you have to shake a lulav because lulav nito kol shiva zechel amigdosh, you have to shake a lulav because it's a sfeika de yayma of the first day. Mein afkemine. Shalachem, or Chaser. A Chaser would be possible. So that's 2 days in the Ritva. So one opinion is, Ben Kovakoy is shaking Galulav. So it's not Mistaba to say that they should introduce Yom Tov Sheni, Shal Sukkis, Benegir, to Netilas Lulav to introduce the Chumras of the first day. Ben Kovakoy is going to shake Galulav. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Bikur Yankov, of Yankov Etlinger's first Sefer that he wrote was on Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Dalad Minim on Shulchan Aruch. Very good Sefer. That's why he called it Bikur Yankov, his Reishis Bikurim, the first Sefer. Then he wrote the Aruch Laner on the Mesichtas, and he wrote the Shadosh Tshuvas Binyan Tzion. The Binyan Tzion, the first Tshuva is to Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, about the possibility of building the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't know that there was a mosque. They didn't know there's nothing to discuss. So they had chalaimus. So they had chalaimus. Maybe they should build the Beis, maybe they should build the Mizbech and they should bring karbonas. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveger. So he wrote this whole kuntres, Drisha Sion, why they should go, they should make a Mizbech, and they should. And he thought that he solved all the problems. And he sent the whole sefer to Rabbi Kiveger, and he was maskim. They should build a Mizbech and bring karbonos. And Rabbi Kiveger sent it to his son-in-law, the Chasam Sofer. He was also maskim, but the Chasam Sofer was a man of the world. So he knew that there's nothing to discuss. He was maskim, then he get to some of the cheshbonos that he had. See, until the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, it was assumed that all the Kohanim is manazah sofer Kohanim. It says in Ezra, when they came back after 7 years of Golas Bavel, they came back and they built the second Beis HaMikdash, so only permitted those Kohanim to be makor karbonos who were Kohanim Yuchasim. They had a Ksav Yichas, all the way back to a Kohen who did Avodah Agabi HaMizbech and the Bais Rishon. Anyone who was those Kohanim Chazoke, we assume he's a Kohen, so they didn't allow them to be makor karbonos in the Bais Sheni. They allowed them to eat Trumah, but they didn't permit them to be makor karbonos. So until the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, the early Achrayim, Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer lived in the middle 1800s, Talmud of Rabbi Kiveger. So until his time, it was assumed that all the Kohanim are Sofik Kohanim. If the Sofik Kohanim, so you can't, what is it going to help? You're going to make a Mizbeach. You can't have a Sofik Kohanim do the Avodah. So he wrote a Chiddush. He thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that Kohanim Chazok are Vade Kohanim. So if they're Vade Kohanim, why didn't Ezra permit them to be Makriv Karbonos? So he says that was a Chumra Midirabbanon that was introduced by Ezra. And the Chumra Midirabbanon only applies Hecha De'efsher, if you can be Makar of Karbonos with the Chumra, so Mehecha Teisa be Machmer. But if we're going to build a Bais HaShlish, we'll build a Mizbech today, and the Chumra will make it impossible to build it, to bring any Karbonos, so Ad Kedei Kach the Rabbanon will never Machmer. So Rabbi Kiveger was Maskim to everything, and Chasam Sofer knew. Chasam Sofer was the man of the world. He knew that there's a Maskim. He knew that the Galochim in charge, the Caliph, whoever is in charge of the Makom HaMikdash, never going to let the Jews walk anywhere near the Makom HaMikdash. So he knew the whole thing was nothing to discuss. But he was masking a disknech, that Kohanim is manazah v'adei Kohanim. And the Chumra that we don't permit them to be makor karbonos, only a Chumra midirabbanon, and hechad d'loy hafsher. And if you can't bring karbonos otherwise, so you can be mevatim on that din d'rabbanon. He was masking at that part. So that's why you look in the literature. So from the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer on, it's 150 years, from the days of Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer on, so it's assumed that Kohanim today are not Sofik Kohanim, they're Vada Kohanim. The early Achrenim had all kinds of funny coolers based on the assumption that Kohanim are only Sofik Kohanim. So let's say a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Gioris. So some Achrenim came up with an Einfall that a Gioris who was Loizinso, Benochri Yuso, is only Asura Midirabbonim. It's also not really accepted. We assume even a Gioris Shenizgara Pchusim Ibashal Hashanah V'yamechot Shavadai Loizinsa B'nachru Yusuf. There's also an Issa Derais. So Sam Achrayim came up with such an Einfall. A Gioris Shaloizinsa B'nachru Yusuf is only the Rabbanon, and the Kohanim is Manazer, only Sofik Kohanim, so it's a Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula. So Kohanim is Manazer, you put two and two together, you get 22. You come up with the wrong. Both premises are incorrect. The Kohanim today are not Sofik Kohanim. And the Gersh and his Charab Chusim Baal Shal Mechud, we assume is an Issa Deraisa. It's not an Issa Derabbanan. The whole Cheshbon is Kakai. So that was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was the one who came up with this idea that the Kohanim today are Vade Kohanim. Why should you say that they're Sofik Kohanim? The fact we don't permit them to be Makor Karbonos, that itself is only a Chumra Midirabbanan. So that Rabbi Kiveger and Chasam Sofer were maskim. So when you look in the literature, Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wasn't from the main Poskim. It was a big Rav, a big Talmid Chacham. He was known for his Zionism. But Rabbi Kiveger and the Chasam Sofer, they were masking with him. So they're quoted by the Noisei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch. From their time on, we assume that Kohanim today are Vada Kohanim. They're not Sofik Kohanim.
DNA, would they tell that there's a certain...
Kohen gene, right. To a very high percentage. Yeah, so it shows that we assume they're Vada Kohanim.
There are people who think that Kohanim don't have that particular gene.
Yeah, it's a pretty high percentage. So Nachamo, so the Mishnah Brura quotes the Bikur Yanker, Rabbi Yanker Vetlinger. He has the first sefer that he wrote is the sefer on Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Dalaminim. So he points out this machloikis in the Ritva, whether on the second day of Sukkot there's a din of Yontem Sheni Shel Golias with respect to Dalad Minim, or you say, no, Ben Kolako, you have to shake a lulav all 7 days, because the Takanas Rabbechem and Zaka, which preceded, came 2 centuries, at least 2-3 centuries before the Takan of Shalchem Itam. So maybe there's no din of Yontem Sheni with respect to the Chumas of Yontem Rishon for lulav. So you look in the Shulchan Aruch, says Beferish, that you do need Shalachem for the second day, and it says Beferish that Chaser is possible. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Bikur Yankov, that a lot of people make a mistake. They think that since this year everything is only with the Rabbanon, so you never need Shalachem at all, and Chaser is okay. So it's not correct. Beferish, the Mechaber Paskins, that you do need Shalachem on the second day.
What happened to Matnas Kuna?
Why don't we give Matnas Kuna? That's a big problem. It's not right. So some of the earlier post came right. We don't give Zerala Chayayim v'hakeva. In Chutz Lodz, we don't give Zerala Chayayim v'hakeva because we rely on Rashi. Rashi interprets in the Gemara, that Gemara Brachas, that we rely on the opinion of the Tanoim that Zerala Chayayim v'hakeva is only a Noig b'Eretz Yisrael. It's not Noig in Chutz Lodz. So why don't we give Zerala Chayayim v'hakeva in Eretz Yisrael? They don't give in Eretz Yisrael either. So the early Achranim write, well, we're not so convinced that they're Kohanim. So Hamoitzim Machaver, all of Harai. All the Kohanim are Sofik Kohanim. So if we're not convinced, how do you say a bracha when you do a Pidyon HaBen? It's a Sofik bracha. Sofik bracha is Lahakam. So from the fact that you say a bracha when you... The fact that the Kohen gets the first Aliyah. Somebody has to get the first Aliyah. You don't start from Shlishi? So if there's no Kohen, say give it to Yisrael. So you think maybe it's a Kohen, say give. So someone gets the first Aliyah. There's no bracha Levatollah there. But the Shara had to say a bracha on Pidyon HaBen. So you see, from the fact that you said bracha, we assume the Vada Kohan. So why don't we give Matnas Kuna? Is Taka not right? You're supposed to give Matnas Kuna in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Lodz, everybody relies on Rashi's Shita. Tosis is not happy with Rashi, but Rashi interprets in the Gemara, no gal makahani klas sovi. The Gemara says, the minig olam is that we rely on these 3 Tanoim. Each one said a different thing. So one Tana says that Zerah L'chayim Hakev is not knowing in Chutz Lodz. So that's as far as Chutz Lodz is concerned. But in Eretz Yisrael, you should give.
Before Rav Tzvi Hirsch accomplished it, the Kohanim not making a bracha when they were davening, is he suffering?
They always had a bracha.
So what do you mean?
It doesn't make sense. That's what they ask. It doesn't make sense. How can you say? How could they have ever assumed that the Kohanim are suffering Kohanim? So how did they ever say a bracha on Pidyon HaBen? They say a bracha when they duchen? Doesn't make any sense. Can't be. We always assumed they were Vada Kohanim. That Shita was incorrect from day number one.
What was it no get to them? In what regard did they all hold that they were like separate?
They're trying to explain why we don't give Matas Kuhunim.
That's why it's only in that regard.
Yeah. So they said because they're suffering Kohanim and our Moitz Mechaveh Olav Harai. So Moitz Mechaveh Olav Harai applies to Pidyon HaBen also. It says Befesh, whenever there's a suffering, you don't give Pidyon HaBen. And how can you say Bracha if it's a suffering? So it's not correct. That's not the correct answer. Here is a big shaila. How do you know that there's a mitzvah of lulav kol shiva? Because the pasuk says, "Ismachtem lefnei Hashem alakech m'shivat yamim." The pasuk says, "Olakachna lechem b'yam arishin all over the world." Ismachtem lefnei Hashem alakech m'shivat yamim. So what does it mean? The whole world. They should shake lulav all over the world. The whole world. Zman HaBayis was only a Migdosh. After the Churban HaBayis, Rabbi Chaim Zaka made a takana all over the world, they should shake lulav.
That wasn't part of the ritual.
Okay.
Right.
He wants everybody to remember that there used to be such a mitzvah. Yeah. There used to be in the Migdosh, Min HaTorah, made a takana with the Rabbanon all over the world, to shake the bench Esrig all 7 days. To shake an Esrig all 7 days. To say a bracha, that's the Machlokes Amaroim. We paskin that you do say a bracha even on a mitzvah the Rabbanon. So we have different psukim in Chumash where it says Lefnei Hashem, and it has different meanings. Lefnei Hashem means in the Beis Hamikdash. There are Esa Kedusha saying there are 10 levels of Kedusha's Beis Hamikdash. The deeper, the most Mekudosh Dika location is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bein Abadim. Then you have the Heichal, is a little lower level of Kedusha. Then you have Bein Hulam, then you have the Ulam in front of the Heichal. Then you have Bein Hulam Ulam Mizbeach. Then you have the Azara, then you have the Harabais, then you have Yerushalayim, then you have the rest of Eretz Yisrael. 10 different levels of the Harabais, Midirabbanim, 3 different levels in the Harabais. There are different levels of kedushas based on Midrash. Altogether, the Mishnah says Esa kedusha saying there are 10. The Mishnah says Esa kedusha Mishnah and Kalim in the first pair. So it says there are 10 levels, and the Mishnah lists off 11 levels. All the Mefarshim work on that. There are 11 different levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. So sometimes Lefnei Hashem means, it says, you should shech karbonis in the Azor, v'shochet es ben ha-boker Lefnei Hashem. It says all the time in Vayikra, Paragalef, Paragbeis, shochet es ben ha-boker Lefnei Hashem. So you can only shech in the Azor. You can't shech in the Harabai. So there Lefnei Hashem means in the Azor. Sometimes Lefnei Hashem means in the Harabais, we spoke before Rosh Hashanah. The din is that on Rosh Hashanah you blow shofar, and on a tiny Sibah you have to blow chatzotzos all over the world. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, Mokam sheyesh shofar yesh chatzotzos, Mokam sheyesh chatzotzos yesh shofar. On Rosh Hashanah, they would blow shofar be'emtza u'shtei chatzotzos min atzdodim, and they would blow simultaneously. They would blow chatzotzos and shofar simultaneously, and the one who's blowing shofar would be marich. He would blow longer. The two people blowing chatzotzos would stop in the middle, and the one who's blowing the shofar would blow longer. And in Tanis Siba, they would have the reverse. They would have the two people blowing shofar on the right and on the left, and the chatzotzer, the one who's blowing the chatzotzer, would be be'emtza, b'zika mitzvah sayoyim b'chatzotzer. They would blow simultaneously in the Beis HaMikdash only, and then those who are blowing the shofar on the two sides would stop in the middle, and the one who's blowing the chatzotzer in the middle would continue to blow longer. So the Gemara says that's only in the Beis HaMikdash. Mokim she'esh shofar yesh chatzotzer, mokim she'esh chatzotzer yesh shofar. And the Gemara says based on that pasuk in Tehillim, v'chatzotzer b'zeh kol shofar hariyu lefnei HaMelech Hashem. Lefnei HaMelech Hashem is only in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says which part of the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara says Har HaBayis. Lefnei HaMelech Hashem over there doesn't mean in the Azor. V'shochat is ben HaBokeh lefnei Hashem. When Yeshech Karbonis lefnei Hashem means in the Azor. The Gemara says that used to take place in the Har HaBayis. Then you have a third pasuk. It says, "V'chalto sham lefnei Hashem alakecha, ma'isa digon chavisirosh chavitzerecha v'chores bekar chavitzenecha." You should eat ma'isa sheni and kachim kalim in Yerushalayim. So there it says, "V'chalto sham lefnei Hashem alakecha" means Yerushalayim. So three different levels of kedusha of Beis HaMikdash. So the Menachas Chinuch points out that sometimes Lefnei Hashem means Azara, sometimes Lefnei Hashem refers to Har HaBayis, and sometimes Lefnei Hashem refers to all of Yerushalayim, because there are three different levels, there are 11 different levels of Kedushas based on Mikdash, and based on the context, you have to figure out what does it mean Lefnei Hashem. And here's also a Shaila, when it says, Bizman she beis HaMikdash hayakayam, Lulav used to be Nito Bamikdash kol Shivim in Atar, based on the Pasuk, Usmachtem lefnei Hashem alakech meshivas yom. What does it mean lefnei Hashem alakech from here? Means in the Azor, or does it mean in Har HaBayis, or does it mean in Yerushalayim? Which lefnei Hashem? So there's a famous Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis. He gets it from the Yerushalmi that lefnei Hashem over here refers to the whole Yerushalayim. When it says lulav nito b'amigdosh kol shiva, b'amigdosh doesn't only mean in the Beis HaMikdash, the whole old city, the whole Ir Atika has the status of Lefnei Hashem.
So that's the Reisit.
That's the Reisit called Shiva.
So then Yisrael, would be a question of maybe the Reisit.
Right, so that's what the Bikuri Yankev has that Chiddush. Yankev Etlinger lived in the early 1800s, so he has this Chiddush. He says if you put together, the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah doesn't say that. He just quotes the Mishnah, Lulav Nito Bamikdash Kol Shiva. He doesn't define what Mikdash is. But in the Pirush HaMishnayis, he quotes this from the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Mikdash means the Ir Atika, the whole old city, is called Lefnei Hashem. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Beis HaBchira that the Kedusha is Beis HaMikdash and the Kedusha is Yerushalayim is Kitchel Ozilova. So when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash and he was Mekadosh all of Yerushalayim, that Kedusha was never bottled. The Kedusha Sa'oretz that was created by Yeshua ben Nun became bottled at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon. But the Kedusha HaMikdash, that was never bottled from the days that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim with the Har HaBayis, with the Makom HaMikdash, everything retained its Kedusha. It's never bottled. So Rabbi Yankev Etlinger says if you put these two together, if you say according to the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to shake a lulav of Kol Shiva in the whole city Yerushalayim, and y'all are kitchel asi lovoi, so it retains the Kedusha, HaMikdash even mizman hazeh. So you have in the Ir Atika, next to the Kosel HaMaravi, those who live in the Ir Atika, they have a mitzvah Kol Shiva, the Sheik Lulav. So according to Tosfos, Tosfos writes on the first daf in Lulav HaGozel, whenever Lulav is the Raisa, then you need Shalachem. We don't require Shalachem on the remaining days of Sukkot. We shake a lulav for 7 days through Hoshana Rabbah. So the first 2 days you need Shalachem. Sveika Diyayma the first. They need Shalachem the first 2 days, and Chaser is Pasul the first 2 days. The remaining 5 days, we don't require Shalachem, and Chaser is Kosher. So Taisa says that's because lulav is only midirabbanan, only Takanas Abiyachem and Zakai, Zeichel and Migdush. When lulav would be deraisa, then you would need Shalachem all the 7 days, and then Chaser would be Pasul all 7 days. That's Taisa on the first daf, on Chof Tes on the base. So Rabbi Yankov Etlinger says, let's say a person lives in Tel Aviv, or he lives in Beit Vegan, and he ready daven, he daven in his shul, wherever, and he benched Esrig ready in shul. Then he drives to the Kaislam Aravi, and he wants to say some tilim over there. So now he's experiencing Lefnei Hashem. So he says, even though he ready was Yotzei Lulav Midirabbanan in the morning, now he becomes Mechuyav to Shek Lulav Midiraisa. Maybe. If you put together these two chumras of the Rambam, we're not so convinced on either. Because the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis writes like that, that all of Yerushalayim has the status of Migdash. The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah doesn't say, and the Rambam writes that Kid Shalosi Lovei. The Rabbi disagrees with the Rambam. The Rabbi thinks that even though Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was Loibotla, Kedusha Shnia that was created through Ezra, was Kid Shalosi Lovei, but the Rabbi says in Hilchas Beis HaMchira, the Kedusha Beis HaMigdash was Botla. So he says you don't say a bracha, but he suggests as a chumre, whoever visits anyone, I have mechutanim in the Eratika. So if I visit my mechutan on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I walk over. Let's say I daven in New Yerushalayim, I daven in Meir Shorim, whatever chutz l'Eratika. I daven on Sukkos, then I walk over to the Eratika. So you now become a chuyev. You may become chuyiv not to shake lulav again menatayra, and you have to have shalachem. They have to give it to you on matanah
ma'as lahachzir. So should maybe require on the Shabbos, birthday of that Shabbos, they should also take a roll of the net as
the first day is a problem. The Gemara discusses, in the fourth parak, the Gemara discusses there's a stira between the Mishnayos. The Gemara points out, beginning of the fourth parak, whether you shake lulav and esrig when the first day falls out on Shabbos or not. So the Gemara says at one point, the Gemara says in Eretz Yisrael they do, and in Chutz Loretz they don't. Eretz Yisrael, they know that it's Yom Tov Rishon. They know that today is their rice. In Chutz Loretz, we make believe as if we have a Sveika D'Yayma, so since a Sveika D'Yayma, that's why we don't. Then the Gemara says, at a later point, the Gemara says no. Even in Eretz Yisrael, since Chutz Loretz, we're not shaking the lulav when the first day is Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael, they also don't shake the lulav. So the Bavli, So the Bavli presents it as if once you get to the Maskana, they don't shake a lulav even in Eretz Yisrael when the first day falls on a Shabbos. And the Yerushalmi doesn't give that Maskana. Yerushalmi claims like the Haskola Sasug in the Bavli. So that's a big question. Why the common practice in Eretz Yisrael is that even when the first day falls on a Shabbos, they don't shake a lulav. This man Migdash they did. Yeah. In the Migdash they did. That's for sure. But the Gemara says, called home alichem eslulavem lebeis haknesses. When the first day falls on our Shabbos, and the Mishnah says everybody brings their lulavim to shul in advance. So what do you mean to shul? That's about chutz la Migdash. So you see that they're shaking lulav. That's the question. So that's the question. Okay. So that's the question, what's the maskana? So the Bavli comes to the maskana that even in Eretz Yisrael, they don't shake a lulav when the first day falls out on Shabbos. That's the common practice. And others taina that they should follow the Yerushalmi, because the Bavli didn't know what was going on in Eretz Yisrael. And the Yerushalmi says that they did shake a lulav when the first day fell out on Shabbos. Like the Tchilas HaSugi in the Bavli. The beginning of the Sugi in the Bavli is that in Eretz Yisrael, when there's no Sveika D'Yomer, they shake lulav on the first day. And then the Maskonas HaBavli doesn't correspond to what it says in the Yerushalmi. So the Yerushalmi should know better what's going on in Eretz Yisrael than the Bavli. So that's a question, why they don't. Lemaise, most places they don't. Most people do not shake a lulav in Eretz Yisrael when the first day, even when the first day falls out on Shabbos.
Could the Rabbi make a gezeira that's chal even after the time of the Yerushalmi? So what they did then within the matter. Once he made a gezeira to Rabbi, the gezeira of Rabbi, Shnei Rena, wouldn't that affect?
No, Rabbi is just explaining what the gzera, what's the nature of the gzera that was made in the days of the Tanaim. That gzera was made a long time ago.
He just explained what the gzera was.
Yeah, he didn't make up the gzera. He's just explaining
what it was.
There is a Shema Yavirenu. So the Gemara... So the Gemara says, but there is a Mishnah that says when first day falls on a Shabbos, kahom alichem eslul aveim, the Beis Haknesses, they brought it to the shul. So it's doichik to say that the shul is in Yerushalayim, or the shul is in the Har Bais. So this, the Gemara thought the simple pshat, the shul is in Tel Aviv. So it sounds like in Eretz Yisrael there's no gzera de rabba. So that's how the sugya begins.
They
brought the dalad minim to shul. Because they're going to say halal and shul, they want to have nanuim in the middle of the halal.
They won't worry about the rabbi's gzera.
Right. So the Gemara says the gzera the rabbi was only a chutz loretz where it's a sveka di yoyma anyway. But in Eretz Yisrael where it's a vadai, there's no sveka di yoyma, then the gzera the rabbi was never made. Then the Gemara backs out from that. The Bavli backs out. But the Yushalmi doesn't back out. Yushalmi was written in Eretz Yisrael. Yushalmi writes like the Haskalah Sasugya.
Weren't they killing each other?
Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. When they left in a shul, or they left it in the Beis Hamikdash, so they would be mafkirit, and they said, if anybody takes it by mistake, he can keep it. It's shaloi. Because they don't have yet to dechavasa, but the love of shalchaver. Yeah. So that's the chumrah of the Bikura Yankit. It has that chidish l'chumrah. That if one already shook a lulav on the other days of Sukkot, he daven somewhere else, and then he goes to the Ir Atika. So it could be, if you combine the two Rambams, the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, who quotes the Yerushalmi, that there's a din min ator lulav, nitu kol shiva, ba-migdash means the holy Ir Atika is called lefnei Hashem, esmachtim lefnei Hashem alakechem, lefnei Hashem means the whole old city of Yerushalayim, and the Rambam and the Mishnah, Torah Paskins and Hilchas Beis Abchira, the Kitchel, osi lovoi, so it retains the Kedusha. So if you put the two together, it comes out that you should really shake a lulav and you should have to have shalachem. As far as you have to have shalachem all 7 days. So when people visit the Kaisla Maravi and Chalamoid, the Israelis, the locals who live there, so they ask you, do you want to have a matanam al slahachse? So you think that they're amaratzim. Well, they don't know. You don't need a matanam al slahachse. You only need shalachem the first 2 days of Sukkot. They know what they're talking about. They all know this chumra from the Bikur Yankit. That Taisa says whenever lulav is deraisa, then you need shalachem. Ramban disagrees with Taisa. Ramban says even when lulav nito b'amigdush kol shiva, but you don't need shalachem. Shalachem is only ulakachtem lachem is shalachem. That's only on Yom Tov Rishon you need shalachem. The rest of the days of Sukkot is a different mitzvah. Smachtem lefnei Hashem alkechem. It's a mitzvah of simcha. It's not a mitzvah of ulakachtem lachem. So the Ramban thinks that you don't need shalachem. You just need it should be the dalad minim. If it's a puzzle of min, so you're not being misamech with the right thing. But it's not a mitzvah of lakachtem, so you don't need shalachem. But Taisa says not. So Taisa says, we don't need shalachem today because lulav kol shiva is only midirabbanan. But in a mikdash that lulav kol shiva is deraisa, Taisa writes beferish, you did need shalachem. So that's the common practice. When you go visit the Kosel HaMaravi on Chalamot Sukkot, so there'll be always some good Samaritan who'll offer you, do you want a matanam anos lahachzer? And they're not going to give you a whole arichas to tell you the whole background, the whole mish, the whole Bikur Yankov of the whole story. But that's what it's based on.
What about Chaser?
Chaser should be good the rest of the days also, because Chaser is just a paslos or lekachtem lekichatama. But it's not a chisorin in the cheftz. If it's lacking hodar, then the Ramban says it creates hodar. That's a description of the fruit, the peri. So if it's not hodar, it's the wrong cheftz. But if it's chaser, or it's not shalachem, so chaser and shalachem, that's a tanayim being yotze the mitzvah. But that's not a chisorin and a cheftze.
Even if not for shalachem, shouldn't you have to shake it again? Because first you only had a chiv derban, now you have a chiv deraisa, so you weren't yotze, you're a chiv deraisa.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if your first one was shalachem and
that's
it was
right.
Shalachem.
Yeah. That you weren't yotze before, yeah. But this is the chiddush that Rabbi Yanke Fetlikin came up with. And according to Tesla, you even need shalachem. That's the icing on top of the cake. But even without the icing on top, it's also a chiddush that you have to shake a lulav a second time. But you don't say a bracha because the whole thing is based on two Rambams, and each Rambam is a little shaky. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis says a lulav nito b'amigdush kol shiva. B'amigdush doesn't only mean the azar; it means the whole old city. So that's, he's quoting Yerushalmi, but in the Mishnah Torah he doesn't quote that. So that's questionable. And the other Rambam, the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid on the Rambam, Hilchus Beis Abchir Perek Vav, when the Rambam says that the Kedushas HaMikdash was Kitchel Osei Lavai, so the Ravid says Bedavke Not, that when they were Mekadosh the Beis HaMikdash, the first time when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew that it was Osid Leheicharev. They knew already from the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu was told that the time of the Chet HaMeraglim, when they'll build the first Beis HaMikdash, is Osid Leheicharev. So when Shlomo HaMelech built it, he was only Mekadosh it Lizman. That's how the Ravid writes, Achidosh. And he says, when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, he writes, Yadeo Hoye Ezra Shosvet Abayit Leheicharev. He knew it was going to be Chorib, so he was only Mekadosh it Lizman. So after the Churban Bayis Sheni, the rest of Eretz Yisrael retains the Kedusha, but the Makom HaMikdash did not retain his Kedusha. And the Ravid says, and it had to be so. Had to be so, he says, because the Bayis HaShlishi is going to have a deeper, a greater Kedusha than the Mishkan ever had. So he said, if it's Kitchel Osi Lavai, so you're not, they're not going to be Mekadosh it again when they're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash. So just to have the old Kedusha, El Yarshan, the old Kedusha that it always had, so it's not going to surpass. The Kedusha of the Bayis HaShlishim will not surpass the Kedusha of the Bayis Rishon. So the Ravid claims, no, Bedavke, when they built the Bayis Rishon, they were only Mekadosh it Lizman. It's a chiddush that such a thing exists.
Yeah, well,
you can make Mekadosh it Lizman.
Yeah, what does that mean, Mekadosh it Lizman? What's that? You're probably being Mekadosh
it for 30 days? Well, yeah. So you should say Kedusha Lepoka Bechdi. The Gemara has all Sugi and Nidorim. A person is Magdash Karban for 30 days, and after 30 days it should be Yotze L'chul. So the Gemara says, Kedusha lo poka bichdi, it's not poka. So what the Ravid says over here can be poka. Your mekadosh beis hamikdash only calls man that it lasts. After it's charev, so the kedusha should vanish into thin air. So the Ravid has chiddush number one that exists, and then he says that each time.
Mine also had only kedusha as long as it was they were there, and then when they left, it no longer was covered.
So according to
Ravid,
you can
oil moyed, yeah.
You can walk right up to.
You mean because of Melachat? Yeah, according to the Ravid,
no problem to walk right up.
Right, that's what the Ravid writes. The Rambam holds that his kitchelosi lova so tomei is not allowed to enter onto the hara bais in his chayv koris. This man is a chayv koris, and the Ravid writes, whoever the burden of proof is on the one who wants to say that you chayv koris. To say that a tomei shenichnas laharabais is chayv koris, all of haraya. You have to go prove that it's kitchelosi lova because he doesn't think it's true. Right, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's a sveika d'dina. Whether we assume that the Makom HaMikdash was kitchel osi lava or kitchel osi lava. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, misafek, since it's a machlekes, the Rama and the Ravid, so tameim should not go. That's why they have a sign. The Rabbanut put up a sign there that the Jewish people are not permitted to enter the Har HaBayis because we're all tameim.
So we have the Gemara talks about the Rekiv and Rabbanu walking by the Churban.
What?
With the end of Makkah, yeah. Rekiv and Rabbanu walking by in the he laughs and they're crying and
they walk
right by the
Makom,
right? So how did they do that?
In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the early Amorim, they still had Eifa Para. So they were all Tahar. The Gemara says in Nida, Chavarayim Medakan Begalila. In the Galila, in the northern part of Eretzel, they used to have Eifa Para. And they used to be Matar people from Tumas Meis. So they were Takatayrim. So a person is Tahar is allowed to go on the Harabais. But as man is there, everybody has a Tumas Meis. So min ha-Torah, Tomei Meis, is allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. But with the Rabbanon, there are three parts to the Har HaBayis. So the first part, Tomei Meis, is allowed to go. The second part of it, Tomei Meis, is not allowed to go. So that's the issue. The Mishkan, yeah, the Mishkan Melech HaTchila, they kept on relocating.
The Kedusha never remained.
Right, there was, right. It wasn't a specific latitude and longitude. Wherever they were, that had the status of Mishkan. Then when they moved, no longer had Kedusha. But here it says, Po Eshev Ki'ivi Siyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose this latitude and longitude. This Makom was Mekudesh. They knew in advance, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, everybody knew from the days of the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu was told b'nevuah that the Beis HaMikdash will be heard. But the question is, maybe this location, this latitude and longitude, was Niskadosh Le'olam Vo'ed. So that's how the Rambam claims, that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, even though he knew in advance that it's Osed L'Heicharev, but it retained the Kedusha throughout. And the Ravid insists, b'davke not so. that the Rona Mikadosh it l'zman. How do you say that? What does some?
There's a Rabbi Richard who actually gives tours of the RFI. He just knows exactly which area is not
for this Kiddush.
He has no Kiddush. He goes to where the palace quarters used to be, where exactly the palace.
The Har Bais, the problem is the Har Bais is twice as big as it's supposed to be. So apparently, the end of the period of the Bais Sheni, right, Hur decided on a lot, and the Chachamim would never mekadesh that extra location.
He knows where the Serach is.
Right.
The Serach is located. There are remainders of the Serach.
Isn't
there
like
Warren? You can see the whole thing over the internet.
The different opinions, yeah. The archaeologists claim that they know exactly where what was added and what was there the first time, yeah. Okay. That's the Shaila. That's exactly the Shaila. In Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rakanti. Rakanti was one of the late Bali Atesis who studied Kabbalah a lot. So a guest came to Shul on the first day Yontif, Sukkot, and when he was shaking the Nanuim, when he was shaking the Lulav and the Esrog, he held the Lulav in the right hand over here and he held the Esrog in the left hand and he didn't hold them together. So they told him that it's strange, that's not the way they do, they hold it together, and he said that's the way he does. So the night after the first day Yontif, so I think the Rakanti had a dream that someone was writing Shem Hashem Yudkei Vav, so he writes Yudkei Vav, and he writes the hay over here. He keeps on writing Yudkei Vav, and the hay is over here. When he woke up, he's trying to figure out, what is this correspondent? What does it have to do with anything? So somehow he understood that the Dal and Minim represent Yudkei Vav, and you're supposed to hold them together. And if you write Yudkei Vav, and you write the other hay over there, it's not Mitzurev. So if you hold the Esrog over there, it's not Mitzurev. So that's based on the dream, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You have to hold the Lulav and the Esrog near each other. Easy, so hold them in one hand, hold the Lulav and the Esrog in the same hand. So the Magen Avraham quotes in the Beis Yosef, it quotes one of the Rishonim. It's not a Rashi, it's not a Tosfos, I think it's Dor HaChaim. But he quotes one of the later Rishonim, that the Gemara says you have to hold the Lulav b'min and the Esrog b'smol, because the Lulav has 75% of the mitzvah. You have the lulav hadas manarov, and the esrog is only 25%. So if a person is a righty, so the Gemara says a kohen has to do hakravas hakabanis with the right hand. If he does hakravas hakabanis with the left hand, so the Gemara says that it's puzzle. So that's a din menatur. That's long down from psukim. The avoida has to be done b'imin. And if the kohen is a lefty, then the Mishnah says he can't be makro kabanis. It has to be the right hand, and it has to be the right hand has to be the stronger hand. There's a Mishnah M'cheres, that coin is a Anita Yad, this puzzle Lavaidim. So over here, a person who's a lefty can say Kiddush also, but a person who's a righty should hold the cup of wine in his right hand. When he says Abdullah, should hold Abdullah in his right hand. The Gemara says in Brochus, we learned it. Gemara says in Brochus, when you say Abdullah, you have to hold the Becher, you have to hold the cup of wine, you have to hold the Psamim. So which should you hold in the right hand, which should you hold in the left hand? So it's a whole discussion in the Gemara. So the Gemara says you should hold the wine in the right hand, you should hold the psalmim in the left hand. So the Pashup Shat, so in the Shulchan Aruch they say, that's when you start Havdalah. Then when you're up to Bar Minim Psalmim, first they say Bar Pri Agofen. Then the second bracha you say Bar Minim Psalmim, then you say Bar Miar Yesh, then you say Havdalah. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote the Rav Yoh, that by the time you come to the second bracha, Bar Minim Psalmim, you should hold the psalmim in the right hand. But you should hold the psalmim should be alayayin. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you should hold a cup of wine in your left hand, you hold the psalmim in the right hand. The Vilna Gaon says that the simple reading of the Gemara would not appear that you switch hands. So the Gaon's practice was that he didn't switch hands. He held a cup of wine in his right hand throughout, and he held the psalmim in the left hand. That's what it says in the Gemara. If you're only holding one thing, you only have one thing to hold, wine, or potato chips, or psalmim, you only have one thing you're holding, so hold it in your right hand. If you have two hands and you got to hold two things, so the more important thing you hold in your right hand, the less important thing you hold in the left hand. And you don't switch hands in the middle. That's the push-up shot in the Gemara. So you're really supposed to do with the right hand, unless a person is a lefty. So then he should hold it in Shulchan Aruch. He should hold the cup of wine in his left hand. His left hand is the more important hand. And hold the psalmim in the right hand. So here the Gemara says that for a person who's a righty, he should hold the lulav, because it has 75% of the mitzvah. Hold the lulav with the hadasim and the rav should be in the right hand. You should hold the esrog in the left hand. So this, the Beis Yosef quotes from this Rishon from the Arches Chaim, that the mashmos in the Gemara is that you're not yotze if you hold them in the same hand. You have to dafka hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. Shouldn't hold them in the same hand. That's the shaila when you're saying Hallel.
How do you do it?
You only have two hands. How do you hold the siddur? How do you hold the siddur when you go with Hoshinus? So how are you going to say the Hoshinus? You have to know
Hoshinus.
But
at Hallel, you've already fulfilled the requirement of making of the benching all of the Nesri. Holding when you make the Nanum, you hold when it's here. On Hallel, it's a Hiddur, but it's a part of
the Hiddur. The Hiddur of the Hallel is an added Kiyum in the Lulav. You're supposed to do Nanuim with the Dalad Minim. So the Nanuim are the first 2 days in each Alachem. For the Nanuim on Hallel also. And the first 2 days, all the days of the Nanuim should be done holding the Lulav and the Esrog in two different hands. So you should try, that's how the Achrim say, you should try to hold in two different hands. You have to get a tiny little siddur.
Did you say during Hallel you have to hold it with both hands?
Two different hands.
You have to hold
Yeah, should hold the lulav in the right hand and the asug in the left hand, and they should be near each other the whole time, because that's all the hemshech of the hider of the lulav. The Mishnah says that the hadasim and arovis are sufficient if they're three tefachim tall. We pass in yud beis agudim. Every tefach has four agudim, so three times four is yud beis agudim. Different opinions in the Gemara. We pass in there should be yud beis agudim. And the lulav should be four tefachim tall and add a tefach kedei l'naneya. What do you mean kedei l'naneya? The ninua is not mi'akev. The Gemara says mid'ag behei, nafig behei. The Gemara says once you picked up the lulav and the esrig, even if you didn't do any ninuimi, yoytze b'yeved, but l'chatchila, the shiurim ad-deraisa, we assume. The Gemara says shiurim chatzitzen amchitzen is halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So we assume that the shiur of dalat tefachim is a shiur deraisa. So this lachatchila is a lachatchila deraisa. Lachatchila deraisa, you should do nanuim with the dalanim. But even if you didn't do nanuim, you're also yotze. But that's the mitzvah b'shlei Musa, is to do nanuim with the lulav. So you should really have the first 2 days of shetaka b'shalachem. You should hold the lulav and the esrog in such a way, in two different hands and close to each other, such a way that you would be yotze the mitzvah like that. Yeah. Today it's a problem because more than half the people in the shul have a lulav and an esrog. So how can you have someone else carry the siddur for you? What's he going to do? But in Europe they had one lulav and esrog for the whole kehila. So the chazan would walk around. There was one person going with Hoshinus, the chazan or the rav. That's all. Two people, chazan and the rav. That's all. So they had someone walking with the siddur, walking backwards in front of the rav, in front of the chazan. And so the chazan was able to hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. Yeah. The Rizal is quoted as saying you should bench Esrog in the Sukkah. So what does that mean? So by a lot of Hasidim, let's say in the Bobbe of a Rebbe, I remember I once visited. So the Davin Shachris in Shul. Then the Davin Shachris, 11 o'clock in the morning, whatever. Then the Rebbe goes into the Sukkah before Hallel, and he benches Esrig at 12 o'clock. And then everybody wants to bench Esrig on the Rebbe's Esrig, so they all stand on line. And the Rebbe gives it a Montana Manaslatza for 2 hours. Everybody's Yaita with the Rebbe's Dalad Minim, Shalachem. And then they go back into Shul, and then they say the Hallel. So the Mishnah Brewer says he doesn't think that that's what the Arizal meant. He says he thinks the Arizal meant everybody's sleeping in the Sukkah. When you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, at the crack of dawn, what time? 5 to 7 these days. When you wake up, you wash Negel Vasa, when you're still in your pajamas, you bench Esrog the first thing in the morning, not 12 o'clock. Not you go into the Sukkah. You're sleeping in the Sukkah. So when you wake up first thing in the morning, you're in the Sukkah. If you're sleeping in the house, well, you should go into the Sukkah. No, it means the first thing in the morning, you should bench Esrog. So that's Pashup Shad. That's what that Rizal thinks. That the first thing in the morning, you shouldn't... Zriz Magdim in the Mitzvah. Why should you wait to bench Esrog before Hallel? Bench Esrog right away. And the others have a Kpeda. There's a Shaila. What is the nature of the Nanuim in the middle of Hallel? Is that a Hidr in the Hallel? Or is that a Kiyum in the Lulav? So the Tosa sounds like the Nanuim... So the lulav has to be dalet tvachim. The hadasim and arab is enough if it's gimel tvachim. And the lulav should also be gimel tvachim. It's tied together, but the lulav has to be an extra tefach kedei l'nanei abo. L'chatchila you need ninu. So that's ninua for the mitzvah of dalet minim. Then Taisus holds that the ninuim and the nanuim that you do in the middle of halal, that's a kiyum in the halal. That's not really a kiyum in the lulav. So according to Taisus, you wouldn't need shalachem. On the first of the days, you wouldn't need shalachem for the nanuim in the middle of halal. But the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes, the nanuim in the middle of halal is a heder in the mitzvah of lulav. You should not only do nanuim b'shas n'tilas lulav, you should do nanuim in the middle of the halal also. So if you're going to bench esrig, that's what those who are machmel for that. If you're going to bench esrig first thing in the morning, then you're going to put down the dalad minim, and then you're going to dam shachris. Then you're going to pick it up again in order to do nanuim in the middle of halal. So the Gemara says, once you were yoytzer the lulav and the esrig, you put it down. So there's no added kiyum. You don't gain anything by picking it up the second time when you're going to say the halal. So that's why there are those who insist that you got to bench esrig, you got to say the bracha right before halal, and continue to hold the lulav and the esrog, not to put it down, to hold it in your two hands until you finish all the nanuim in the middle of halal. That's a chumra within the Rambam.
According to why they have Hoshanas after Shachris?
No, Hoshanas after Shachris, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. It's a little unclear in the Mishnayos, when did they do the Hoshanas in the Beis HaMikdash? After the Tamar Shel Shachar, after the Musafin. So whenever they did it, when did they do Arava La Mizbech? They used to be Makiv to Mizbech. So when did they do that? After Tamar Shel Shachar or after Musafin? So according to those Rishonim that they did it after Tamar Shel Shachar, so you're supposed to have Hoshanas after Shachris. According to those who did it after Musafim, so you should have Zech HaMikdash, do it after Musafim.
What was the essence of the Shabbat? What's the essence of the Tshuva by Rabosha regarding the problem doing after Shachris?
This, yeah. That's the Shaila. So it just points out that the two Rishonim, in reading the Mishnais, exactly when did they do the Hakofa around the Mizbeach? They used to walk around the Mizbeach with the Arovas. So when did they do that? After Tom Shel Shachar, after the Musafim? The what? They went home when? I don't know. They Rishonim. I think Rashi has a Tupshot. Rashi on the Mishnah has a Tupshot. Why again? No. So why didn't they lay? After Shachris. When did the Hasidim do Hoshanas?
After Shachris.
So they do lay then?
Yeah, they put back the and took it out again.
Yes.
So he felt that was wrong. They should have put the Sefer Torah out
and lay. Okay.
According to Rashi in the Kaddish, if you yell the mitzvah every time you pick it up, would it help what the Hasidim are doing that you still would be a hidden within that mean you still have the mitzvah?
Yeah. Rashi is quoted. The Sefer Pardes is by the Talmidim of Rashi. So Rashi is quoted as having said that in Maseches Sukkah there's a machlokes hatanaim. What if a person put on tefillin in the morning, then he took it off, then he decides he wants to put on tefillin to mincha? Does he say another bracha when he puts on tefillin by mincha or not? There's a long pause in between. So it's a machlokes, and the Gemara says we pass like that opinion like Rebbe. Tefillin kolei meshe minicha mevorach aleim. Every time you put on tefillin, if there was a Hesel Hadas in between, so you say bracha. So Rashi is quoted as having said, the same is true regarding Dalad Minim. If you shook Dalad Minim in the morning, and then you had a pause, and then you want to shake again in the afternoon, shake again and say a bracha. You want to shake again a third time later in the day, if there's a long Hesel Hadas, so you say a bracha. Every time you shake the lulav in the esrig, you say a bracha. And we don't accept that opinion. We assume that that's only tefillin, because Mikra Adin, you're supposed to wear tefillin kol hayom. So if you took it off and you put it back on, so there's an added kiyum mitzvah. There was a Hesel Hadas, so you say another bracha. But as far as Dalad Minim is concerned, we assume it Agbe Nafik Bey. Once you were Yotze, you were Yotze. And the fact that you pick it up 2 hours later, maybe that's a heder mitzvah, but that's not really a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to have the lulav all day long. The Gemara says, Anshe Yerushalayim is to carry the lulav all day long. But that's only a heder, that's not the actual mitzvah. So that's why we assume that once you shook the lulav in the esreg and you had a pour, so you know, it does make sense to say a bracha later on the tilas lulav and esreg. Okay. No problem. You're holding the lulav and the esrog in two hands. You have to be careful not to have a chatzitza. We're machmer and shulchan aruch. It's a question whether that's a din or a chumra. So we're machmer that you have to take off your rings or you have to take off the ritzuas. Those people wear tefillin. Chalamoid. So chalamoid tzuki is to take off the tefillin before you bench esrog. Because we're machmer lachatchila for the chatzitza issue. Chalamoid Pesach, some have a meaning that they leave the tefillin on till Musaf, like on Rosh Chodesh, till they're about to daven Musaf. But Chala Moed Sukkos, you have to take off the tefillin before you say Hallel, because we want to bench Esrog before Hallel. So you have to make sure that the Siddur shouldn't be a Chatzitza. But if you're holding in different fingers, you hold the Lulav and the Esrog in two hands like this, then you're holding the Siddur in between different fingers. So then there is no Chatzitza. Okay. No. Chatzitza between the fingers and the Dalet Ninim. Shouldn't have a chatzitza between the lulav and your hand.
You have to have all five fingers on the.
No, you don't need all five fingers. No, you need as many fingers as you need to hold here. You hold a cup of tea. You say just hold the two fingers, three fingers, four, whatever. You don't need all the whole hand. If you hold an esrog, you hold an esrog like this. You hold the lulav like this is also good. That's the normal way to hold it. But there shouldn't be a chatzitza there. However, you're holding it, you shouldn't have a chatzitza. Let's say the ring. The ring is only a problem if you're holding like this. If you're holding like this anyway. So that part of the finger is not even touching the lulav nesting, so there's no problem of chatzitza. But if you're holding it like this next to your hand and the ring is there, so then you have an issue of chatzitza. Right. Dachrinim say if you're running late and there's not enough time to take off the whole tefillin, so at least you have to take off the ritzua from the fingers. It shouldn't be a chatzis. That's a Dachrinim point out, yeah. Right. Yeah, in a lot of shuls, it's going to be, by the time it's going to come Musaf, it's going to be such a crowd. There's going to be many, many more people in the shuls. It'll be physically impossible to do the Hoshinas. So they temporarily change the minig until the shul will be Omdim Tzvufim, Mishtachrim, Mabach, until they'll have more room. So they announce that this is a temporary practice until they'll have more room. So they're changing it temporarily just to have the Hoshinas after Shachris. That's in a lot of shuls on Yontif, it's very crowded. Chalamoid, not so crowded. So Chalamoid, they'll go back to what the real minig is, that they'll say the Hoshinas after Musaf. And only on Yontif, then they'll have the Hoshinas after Shachris as a temporary measure.
And same if you're not, if your minhag of doing non-numim is different than the call.
Yeah. Shulchan Aruch, they quote one practice, then Arizal has a different practice. One of the rabbanim in the yeshiva said that he remembers when Rav Soloveitchik came from Boston to his father in New York. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik died in 1941. So this was before then. He came and he had figured out some kind of a way to satisfy the both opinions. How to do the nanuim in such a way to satisfy both opinions. But Rabbi Weiss, who was telling me this, he didn't remember what the solution was. And he says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that it was ingenious how Rav Yoshe Ber figured this out. But he didn't. But the Balabatim thought that he wasn't yotze anything. The Balabatim in Boston were not happy. They thought the man doesn't know anything. And God's not yotze. He's not doing like the Arizal. He's not doing the way it says in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't remember that Rav Soloveitchik did different. By the time I came on the scene, he already realized that the Balabatim didn't like that Chiddush.
What's the Arizal's reason for the way they do it? I asked it's clockwise.
Yeah, I don't know. In Europe, it was a common practice that only one person had the dalad minim. He used to give a matan manas lachza to the other people. So Rabbi Saul Salante came up with his big chiddush. Rabbi Salante was a big goyin. He came up with a chiddush that the Gemara has a lashon mida agbehe nofek bay. When you pick up the dalad minim, you yotzei that the lekicha lokachtem lachem the lekicha. But at the time of the lekicha, it's not shalachem yet. It's your dalad minim. So if you're makten to me, a matan manas lachza, so when I do the lekicha, it's not mine. The second after I take it, then it becomes mine. So he said, I have to put it down, I have to pick it up again a second time. That was his chiddush. So there was a big pilpul in the poskim, whether they agree with him or they disagree. The Netziv disagreed. So the Netziv doesn't write that he's disagreeing with Rabbi Saul Salante. He just gave shurim in Valojin, and they printed all of his shurim in the Mirai Mesoda. Those are the shurim that he delivered in Valojin. So in the middle of a sugi, in the middle of Menachos, I think, little of Menachos, in Valojin they learned straight, from Brachas to Nida. They didn't skip anything, even though they had single people there, they learned Nida, they learned Maikot Navela, they learned everything. They went straight, daf al daf. So in the middle of Menachos, he has a shir on a Gemara there. The Gemara talks about they made a mistake, they put the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan in the middle of the week. It's supposed to put the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and supposed to sit there till next Shabbos. Then you take it off, and you put the new Lechem Aponim that was just baked yesterday, an Erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says that if they put the Lechem upon him in the middle of the week, so they don't have to take it off and put it back on again on Shabbos, you leave it there.
It's the right thing
to do. Yeah. So the Lechem upon him that was there from last Shabbos, so they would take off, one group of Kohanim would take off the old Lechem upon him, and the new group would put on the new Lechem upon him right away, that it shouldn't even be for 2 minutes. Shulchan shouldn't be missing. But what if they put the Lechem upon him on the middle of the week? So there's no kiyum to put on the middle of the week. So when it comes Shabbos, so the clock starts counting from Shabbos. You know, it says you don't have to take it off and put it back on. So the Netziv on that Gemara thinks that this is the same. That when I picked up the Dalaminim, it wasn't Shalachem, so at that time I wasn't Yotze yet. But the fact that I'm still holding on to it, so that's good enough. So he argues the case that the common practice was acceptable. The common practice was, one person had the ownership of the Dalamina, he would be kind enough to give it to everybody else, Amatonam and Asla Hachzir. And they didn't put it down and pick it up again, so that the second Lekicha would be Shalachem. Common practice was not like Rissol Salanta. So the Netziv justifies the Minik Ha'olam. There is a Gemara in the end of Lulav HaGozel, where the Gemara says, Ben Ag Behe Nofek Behe, the minute you pick up the Dalamina, you yotze the mitzvah already. Because the Nanoim are just needed l'chatchilas, not miyakev b'di'eved. Unless the person picked up the Dalaminim b'shehafochai. If he held it backwards, the wrong way, then you're not yotze. How do you translate hafochai? So Rashi says, if you held it upside down. Because you learn out from the Atzi Shita Momdim, from the Karshe HaMishkan, that whenever you have to use an item that grows from the ground, a natural item that grows from the ground for the purpose of a mitzvah, so you have to hold the kederach d'ilosim. So the atzei shittim weren't sideways, and they weren't upside down. They're the same way they grew from the ground. Atzei shittim omdim kederach d'ilosim. And we learn out from that that the same applies to the dalminim. You have to hold the esrog to pick them up, and the lulav, everything has to be in the right direction. So that's how Rashi learns kesheh hafochai. If you held the dalminim upside down, so you're not yotzei. The Magen Avraham in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel. We have it not printed on the side of the page. In days in the Magen Avraham, they didn't have a Vilna Shas. It wasn't printed on the side. So he had a manuscript of the Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel says, Shafochai, that the Gemara says you have to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrog in the left hand. So Rabbeinu Hananel learns Pshat. If you hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, you're not Yotze B'di'evet. Achidish, he writes Achidish. How can you say not Yotze B'di'evet? The Gemara says, if the coin does hakrobus hakrobonus with the left hand, that's a Mishnah that it's possible. But if you held the Kiddush cup in your left hand, you're not Yotze B'di'evet. And if you say, Shahakol, lachatchil, you should hold the cup of tea in your right hand. If you hold it in the left hand, you say, Bracha Shahakol, you're not Yotze B'di'evet. That's all a din lachatchil.
Chalitza has to be with the right hand.
What?
Isn't Chalitza Miyakev done with the right hand?
No. Chalitza is not Miyakev, is done with the left hand, no. Chalitza b'smol, chalitza psula. That's a Shvera Taisus in Chulin, Dav Chof HaMeral. There's a Mishnah in Chulin, that's a Mishnah in Yevamis, that's Cholze B'smol, Chalitzase B'sula. So the Mishnah means, if she took off his left shoe from his left foot, So the Taisus in Chulin understood, Pile Ploin, Taisus understood if she takes off the shoe with her left hand. So Taisus says, how can it be? The Mishnah says, Gidem is Choletz is Bishineho. What if the woman who has to do the Chalitza doesn't have either arm? So she's stuck for life. She can't do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Choletz is Bishineho. Let her untie the shoe with her teeth if she wants to be allowed to remarry. Let her untie the shoe of the Yavam with her teeth and let her remove it from his foot with her teeth. She doesn't have any hands. So if to do Chalitza Bishineho with her teeth is good, how can say with the left hand is no good? Stai says, no, that's the halacha. The left hand is worse than the teeth. So lachrani miss, that's not the pshat in the Mishnah. Chaltza b'smol chalitza subsul means that she took off the shoe from the left foot of the yavam. Doesn't mean that she took it off with her left hand. That's a shvera taisus. Pasha pshat is lachatchili, should always do the mitzvah with your right hand. If you're a righty, you should hold the becher with your right hand. But to say over here that it's pasul b'dieved, that's very shver. But the Magen Avraham says you should be choshish for that. Rabbein Hanan, you should be choshish for that. The Gemara says in the first parak in Psochim, Kol ha-mitzvahs kulam avarach alayim moivah l'asiyosam. You always have to say the bracha immediately before you're about to fulfill a mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't say koidem l'asiyosam, the Gemara says oivah. So oivah means immediately before, to the exclusion of oivah the oivah. Should be right before you do the mitzvah. So the Gemara says there are two exceptions to the rule where you have no brera. We say the bracha l'achar asiyosam. So one exception to the rule is a gershin is gayer. He's a nochri. So until he's tovel in the mikveh, he can't say a bracha shekadoshana b'mitzoyse v'tzivana. He's not Jewish yet. So he has to wait till after he's tovel in the mikveh. So tovel v'yolo, after he comes out of the mikveh, then he says the bracha shekadoshana b'mitzoyse v'tzivana ala tefillah. Then the Gemara says, and then some rishonim says, by everyone who's tovel in the mikveh. That's the question. Is it only by ger, or everybody is tovel in the mikveh? In Shulchan Aruch, they have a minig that the women, some women have such a practice that's recorded, they should be tovel in the mikveh, then say the bracha and then tovel a second time. Because some hold you're supposed to say the bracha after you tovel in the mikveh. Others say you're supposed to say the bracha before, so let them be tovel twice, and they say the bracha ala tefillah in between the first tefillah and the second tefillah. That's a shaila, what do you accomplish? Once you did the first tefillah, you're yotzei already. So how did you make it better by doing a second tefillah? Makes it oivel asiyosam. So there's a whole discussion on that. Does it make any sense to be tovel twice and to say the bracha in between?
Yeah, what's the second thing?
And the second thing is dalad minim. The Gemara says dalad minim, you have no brera. Because menagbe, nofegbe, you yotze ready. So what are you going to say? Okay. Say the bracha before you pick it up. So that's what the Rishonim fill in. That's over the over. That's too far in advance. That doesn't make any sense that you should say the bracha then. So Tosis came up. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Tanoim say like that. The Heligat Tanoim say that by Dalad Minim you have no Brera. So they say the Bracha Lachar Asiyosam. So Taisus outsmarted the Tanoim. Taisus says, no, we pick up the Esrog upside down, and then we say a Bracha, we're holding on to everything, then we turn it over. So the Balamor says, what, Taisus outsmarted the Tanoim? The Tanoim say that Dalad Minim is an exception to the rule. So you leave it the way it is. You don't have to stand on your head. So the minig is like the Balei HaTosfos. So there are some Sfardim have the minig, not that they hold the Esrog upside down, they hold the Esrog in their right hand and the Lulav in the left hand, and say the Bracha, then after they say the Bracha, then they switch hands. Because they follow the Rabbeinu Hananel that you're not Yotzei B'dieved if you hold in the wrong hands. So you say the Bracha before you have it in the right hand, and then you switch hands. And so now you're Yotzei. And it's not over the over because you were holding on.
It's you carry going to the shul with the Esrog and Lulav, so you have to be very careful that the Esrog should be upside down, I suppose, or use the Esrog of a left and the whole Lulav of one hand.
I mean, he didn't say the bracha yet.
In the box.
In the box, yeah.
Yeah.
The only time, the Gemara says, are you Yotzei by picking up the Esrog if it's in a container? So the Gemara says, it depends if it's derech covered or not. I don't think that's derech covered. To hold the Esrog in a box, even if it's a silver box. It's more bekovedik to hold it in your hand. If you would be holding it in a special container that's meyuchad for holding it, then there would be what to discuss. Maybe there's no din of chatzitza, and derech kovet lekicha adei davarachi would be good. But to hold it in the box, that's mistami yinat yotze. That's lekicha adei davarachi, it's not derech kovet. So there you're not yotze.
What kinyin were you doing for Tanam Nasalhaxi before you yotze the mitzvah?
What kinyan? You're doing a kinyan hagbah, yeah.
And if you don't do the kinyan hagbah, you're not yotzei.
on the first 2 days, you need shalachem. So you got to have shalachem. The shalas hagbo is only koinim mid the rabbanu. We pass like Rabbi Yechanan, and most of the Rishonim pass like Rabbi Yechanan in Perek Hazov, that Dvar Torah Mois Koinis. When you want to buy Metaltalim, you have to make a Kinyan Mois, you have to pay. And Hagbo and Mashiach is only Midi Rabbanu. So that's the Shaila. On the first day Yontif, this year there is no first day Yontif. We don't bench Esrog on the first day. On the first day you need Shalachem. So if you Koinis with Hagbo, maybe it's only Kinyan Midi Rabbanu. And maybe that's not acceptable when you need Shalachem Deraisa. This year there's no problem. This year, the second day, you only need Shalachem Ederabbanon. So if you need Shalachem Ederabbanon, so Kinyam Ederabbanon is Shalachem Ederabbanon. That's no problem. But when the first day is not on Shabbos, so then there's a Shaila. Can you be Yotzei if you were Koinag De Hagbo? So Taisvis writes that the only time there's a Machlek Zabiechra Mishlokish, whether the Vatorim was Koinus or not, that's only if you're buying something. And there's moist to pay. But if someone gives me a matana, he gives me a matana, so there are no moist. There's no moist to speak of. So Taisa says there, even Rabbi Yechanan agrees that Hagbo and Mashiach is Koinim and Atar. So according to Taisa, there's no problem. The Ramban disagrees with Taisa. The Ramban holds that even if it's Derech Matana also, Mashiach and Hagbo is only Koinim and the Rabban. So according to the Ramban, you would have the problem in a normal year. This year, the second day Yantav is only with the Rabban, and there's no problem. But on a normal year that you're going to shake Esrog on the first day, you need Shalachem Deraisa, so that's a whole Din and Achrayim, would that be sufficient? If you give him Atanam Masla Achzer, and the person only makes a Kinyan Hagboa, so that's a Shaila, whether that's a Kinyan Derabbanon is good for a Shalachem Deraisa.
What
does
the Rabban say, you become a Matana? In general, are you going to Matana?
With Chotzer. Chotzer Ayad. So if I take your Lulav, and I put my hand around the Lulav, inch by inch. So have every inch of the lulav I have a kinyan yad, or if I take it into my house. But if I take your lulav in shul, so there's no kinyan chotzer, and I don't make a kinyan yad. Esrog, I can hold the whole esrog like this, that would be it. Or if I hold the esrog like this, it's aver yad, that's good. But the lulav usually, you don't make a kinyan on every inch. So that'll be a shame. Usually Mecca Chamemka is not allowed on Shabbos and Yontav. So some Rishonim say there's a Mishnah that says when you go visit someone on Yontav, your Mishnah in Beitzah says you can bring a box of candies, bring some flesh, you can give a gift, flowers you can give. So the Rishonim ask over there, Aitz and Issa Mecha Chamemcha Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. So some Rishonim say a Matana Metalpel and Miad Liad, there's no problem. Others disagree, they say no, Matana Miad Liad, there is a Gzeir Hashem Yichtov, but B'makam Mitzvah is Mutter. So if you do it, B'makam Mitzvah, for sure it's Mutter. For sure it's mutter. There is a problem with the Shechyonu. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achaz Yom Arichto. So there's a machlekes in Rishonim. Does it make sense to say Shechyonu on the second day? When you have 2 days, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkah, so we act as if it's a Sveka de Yom. So maybe yesterday was Erev Yontif, maybe yesterday was Chol, and maybe today's Yontif, and because of that suffix, so you say a bracha. And normally suffix brachas lakel, except over here the Gemara says, by the second day Yontif, Kech Dalola Zalzuli Beis, here the Gemara says in Bama Medlikin, you say the Bracha. So the second day, Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, we understand that you say Shechyon. Second day, Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achah, so the Ari Shanim say that you shouldn't say Shechyon the second night on Kiddush, and you shouldn't say Shechyon the second day on Shofar. But we don't paskan like that. We paskan that the second day, you do say Shechyon by Kiddush. Lechatchila, you have a Pri Chodosh, or a Beged Chodosh. But still, bottom line, if you don't have the Pri Chodesh or the Beged Chodesh, so you do say Shechyonu on the second day on Kiddush and the second day on Shofar. The second day Sukkos, for sure, it's not a Yom Arichto. So if the first day is Chol, and the second day is also Chol, so we don't say Shechyonu the second day on Atilas Lulav. So that's a big problem. Why not? It makes sense. The 2 day Sukkos is a Sveka de Yom, it's not a Yom Arichto. Of course you should say Shechyonu on the second day. What's the Shaila? So why don't we say Shechyonu on the second day? On the Netilas Lulav?
Because it's all based on the Tekonah of the Earth, and we have to do 7 days.
Yep.
And the first day was Erev Sukkos.
So if the first day was Erev Sukkos,
make a Shechyonu even Erev Sukkos, that's for Sukkos.
So the Gemara says, if you tied up your Dalad Mina before Sukkos, if you said Shechyonu then, So then you're covered. You don't have to say Shachyana later. So our practice is when we type the Dalmin, we don't say Shachyana. So the Shaila is, what if you didn't say Shachyana? Igmar said, if you built a Sukkah and you say Shachyana at the time you built the Sukkah, you don't have to repeat Shachyana later. What if you built the Sukkah, you didn't say Shachyana then, and you said Shachyana in between the Asiyas HaSukkah and the Yeshiva and the Sukkah? Are you Yotze with that Shachyana? Or you tied your Dalad Minim, you didn't say Shachyana, you did not say Shachyana at the time that you tied it together, but you didn't wait till you actually were Yotze the Mitzvah of Lulav, you said Shachyana in between. So the Rosh on the last daf in Sukkah, the very last daf in Masechah Sukkah, the more talks about Shachyana and Leshe Basukkah, which bracha do you say first? The more comes to the conclusion, you say Leshe Basukkah first, and you say Shachyana last. Sukkah v'achakach zman. That's the last Omid Aleph in the Masechah. Hilchus HaSukkah v'achakach zman. So the Rosh, Anat Gemara, quotes this Machlekes HaRishonim. What's the din if he says Shachyana in between? So if the din would be that you would be Yotzei with the Shachyana that you said in between, so you can say, when we tied up the Lulav, we didn't say Shachyana, but the first day Yontav we said Shachyana. So right or wrong, maybe the first day Yontav was Erev Yontav, but we already said Shachyana in connection with the Dalaminim, so you don't have to repeat the Shachyana on the second day. Yeah, so if we would have adopted that position, but the Pashto says we don't paskin like that Shita. So why don't we say Shachyana on the second day? See, the official explanation that all the Rishonim quote is from the Tshuvas HaGoinim. They say that the Shachyana that you said by Kiddush on the second night covers the Lulav. So why does the Shachyana on the second night of Rosh Hashanah not cover the Shofar on the second day of Rosh Hashanah? They say no, because you can't blow Shofar Balayla. No, you can't shake the Lulav Balayla either. So why does the Shachyana on the second night of Kiddush, of Sukkot, why does that cover the Shachyana for the lulav? So that's what he's saying. When we shake the lulav nito b'migdosh kol shiva is because of the mitzvah smachtam lefnei Hashem alakecha. We discussed there's a gemara in Erev and daf mem on the base of the gemara hadushan. We discussed last week, 2 weeks ago. Do you say Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur or not? On Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, for sure you say Shachyana at the end of the Kiddush. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Then the gemara said, what do you mean? What did they do last year? Nobody in Yeshiva remembered what they said. Shachyana says, no, avaretz or rishus. It's optional to say Shachyana. They always said Shachyana. The Shachyana says, are you mechuyev to say Shachyana, like Shalosh Regalim? Or is it only a rishus, like a prichodesh? Shachyana on a prichodesh is only rishus. So what's Shachyana on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Is it a chayv or is it a rishus? So what's the Gemara's suffix? So the Rishonim on the daf, the Rabbeinu Yohanesin explains over there, other Rishonim explain, the suffix in the Gemara, the dion was, that Shachyana is a bracha that you mechuyev to say on Shalosh Regalim because it's a mitzvah of simcha. Shachyana v'gimano, v'gimano lazman hazeh. So that's the shaila in the Gemara, is there a chiyev simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Are you mechuyev to say Shachyana because it's a mitzvah of simcha? Oh no, it's only rishus, like on a prichodesh. The Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, you mechuyev to say Shachyana, there is a chiyev simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Shachyana that you say on the second night of Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah doesn't cover the Shachyana for the Shofar. The Shofar on Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Simcha. Shofar is a separate mitzvah. They say you can't blow Shofar balayla. So you can't say the Shachyana on the Kiddush the second night should cover the Shofar. But the Shachyana the second night of Sukkot, the Shachyana on Shalosh Regalim, is the Shachyana on the mitzvah of Simcha. And the whole mitzvah of Lulav Nito Kol Shiva is because of the mitzvah of Smachtem Lefnei Hashem Lekech Meshivas Yamin. The Rabbi Chaim made a takana, lulav nito kol shiva. So that's how you suggested before. If one should assume, like that opinion in the Ritva, that shaking the lulav on the second day of Yontav is not Petaris Feka Diyayim of the first day. It's only based on Usmachtem, only based on lulav nito kol shiva, because the takana Rabbi Chaim Mezakai preceded by several centuries the takana of Sholchem Itam. You have to shake a lulav kol shiva already 200-300 years before they introduced the mitzvah of Yontav Sheni Shalgo. So they never introduced Yontav Sheni with respect to Netilas Lulav. So the Netilas Lulav kol shiva is only for the mitzvah of Ismachtem. So you already said Shachyana last night on the Simchas Yontav. But that's probably what the Goyim are driving at. The problem is we don't paskin like that either. We paskin that you do need Shalachem on the second day. So we hold that the second day is a Sveka Diyayim. So Mestama, the pshat is, we go l'chumra in both directions. It's on two opinions in the Ritva, where the lulav on the second day of Sukkot is only b'taras lulav kol shiva. Rabbi Yechaman Zaka is takona lulav nitol kol shiva zechel amigdash. It's also b'taras sveka diyayma of yesterday. So we go l'chumra in both directions. So we require shalachem, and it shouldn't be chaser on the second day. Maybe there is a sveka diyayma of the first day. But on the other hand, we say, we shouldn't say Shachyana. Maybe they never introduced the Sveka Diyama of the first day. Maybe it's only Betoras Lulav Nito Kol Shiva. So that's the Shachyana of Simchas Yonta. No, we celebrated Shachyana on Simchas Yonta. You don't have a Chilush Tia, but you're supposed to be in a happy mood. We paskin, for sure, we paskin Lahokel, for sure. We paskin that Yom Kippur cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim, Machlekes Atanayim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Kirigolim and it cancels Avelus or not. So halachic, the Ram Mekel Ba'ovel for sure, the halacha says there, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Shiva, cancel Shloshim. So there we assume that there is a mitzvah of Simcha, but maybe that's only in Hilchos Avelus. Halachic, the Ram Mekel Ba'ovel, but maybe it's not B'toras Vadais. Here the Gemara declares, should you say Shechel? Gemara says, yeah, there is a Chiv Simcha on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. It's a simcha without boss of a yayin. It's still, you're supposed to be in a happy mood. Okay, cheerful topics, cheerful topics. We want to wish everybody a good yontif, a good yontif. Amen.
My minhag was that I'm filling in the United States within the last 5-6 years, in Halloween. That's 5 seconds. That's sort of so nobody puts on
it. But I'm there, so I think I'm filling at home.
So the question is, it's not okay. It doesn't just because 5-6 years of doing it, it doesn't have to be in my minhag. It still holds, right?
You mentioned the Rishon Lazer and Siv that he said they had a child that will keep it Akpe in your Yitzah. So how do you get the Shalachem?
The meaning used to be someone gives me a Tanah, so when I take it, it's not Shalachem. The second, after I take it, then it belongs to me.